Hello, everyone. My name is Elijah Dave, Minister of Scott, our Apostolic Sabbatarian Congregation, 9th South Tower, Liberty Hill, Texas. Today is February 15, 2017, August 8, 2020. We will start our first service today with a song entitled, Come Thou Almighty King. Come Thou Almighty King, help us and the hand to sing, help us to pray. Father all glorious, Lord all victorious, come and reign over us, Ancient of Days. Come thou incarnate Word, gird on thy mighty sword, help her attend. Come in thy people blessed, and give thy word success. Spirit of holiness, on us descend. Come, holy comforter, thy sacred praises be, hence evermore, as sovereign majesty, may we in glory seek, and to eternity love and adore. Come, holy comforter, thy sacred witness bear, in this glad hour, thou who almighty art, thou rule in every heart, and there from us depart, Spirit of power. Part 11, Captivity and Restoration, we're reading from Prophets and Kings book. And we're on chapter 25, titled The Call of Isaiah. We're on page 303 of the book. It says, a preacher of righteousness, this Isaiah, shall the prey be taken from the mighty, or the lawful captive delivered? Thus saith the Yahweh, even the captives of the mighty shall be taken away, and the prey of the terrible shall be delivered. They shall be greatly ashamed, that trust in graven images, that say unto the molten images, you are our gods. Isaiah 49:24-25, 42:17. Okay, it says, the long reign of Uzziah, also known as Azariah, in the land of Judah and Benjamin was characterized by a prosperity greater than that of any other ruler since the death of Solomon, nearly two centuries before. For many years the king ruled with a discretion. Under the blessing of heaven, his armies regained some of the territory that had been lost in the former years. Cities were rebuilt and fortified, and the position of the nation among the surrounding peoples was greatly strengthened. Commerce revived, and the riches of the nation flowed into Jerusalem. Uzziah's name spread far abroad, for he was marvelously helped, that he was strong, 2 Chronicles 26:15. The outward prosperity, however, was not accompanied by the corresponding revival of the spiritual power. For the temple services were continued as in the former years, and multitudes assembled to worship the living Elohim, but pride and formality gradually took the place of humility and sincerity. Of Uzziah himself it is written, when he was strong, his heart was lifted up to his destruction, for he transgressed against the Yahweh's Elohim, verse 16. The sin that resulted so disastrously under Uzziah was one of the presumption and the violation of a plain command of Yahweh. That note that none but the descendants of the Aaron should officiate. A priest, the king, entered the sanctuary to burn incense upon the altar. Azariah, the high priest, and his associates remonstrated and pleaded with him to turn from his purpose. Thou hast trespassed, they urged. Neither shall it be for thine honor. Verses 16 and 18. Uzziah was filled with the wrath that he, the king, should be thus rebuked. But he was not permitted to profane this sanctuary against the united protest of those in the authority. While standing there in the wrathful rebellion, he was suddenly smitten with a divine judgment. Leprosy appeared on his forehead, and dismay fled never again to enter the temple courts until the day of his death, 7 years later. Uzziah remained a leper, a living example of the folly of departing from a plan, thus says the Yahweh. Well, that's what's happened to all of Yahweh's people and leaders clear down to our day. From Adam. Think about it. Adam and Eve had to depart from the way that Yahweh had instructed from in the beginning, or they would not have lost their home in Eden. So it has always been that way. Thus saith Yahweh. Neither his exalted position nor his long life of service could be pleaded as an excuse for the presumptuous sin by which he marred the closing years of his reign and brought upon himself the judgment of heaven. Yahweh is no respecter of persons. The soul that doeth aught presumptuously, whether he be born in the land or a stranger, the same reproaches of Yahweh, and that soul shall be cut off from among his people. Numbers 15:30. So the judgment that befell Uzziah seemed to have a restrained influence on his son. Jotham bore heavy responsibilities during the latter years of his father's reign, and succeeded unto the throne after Uzziah's death. Of Jotham it is written, he did that which was right in the sight of Yahweh. He did according unto all that his father Uzziah had done. Howbeit, the high places were not removed. The people sacrificed and burned incense still in the high places. 13:15, 34, and 35. The reign of Uzziah was drawn unto a close, and Jotham was already bearing many of the burdens of the state. And Isaiah of the royal line was called, while yet a young man, unto the prophetic mission. For the time in which Isaiah was to labor were fraught with the peculiar peril unto the people of Yahweh. The prophet was to witness the invasion of Judah by the combined armies of the northern Israel and of the Syria. He was to hold the Assyrian host in camp before the chief cities of the kingdom. During his lifetime, Samaria was to fall, and the 10 tribes of Israel were to be scattered among the nations. Judah was again to be invaded by the Assyrian armies, and Jerusalem was to suffer a siege that would have resulted in her downfall had not Elohim miraculously interposed. Already, great perils were threatening the peace of the southern kingdom, for the divine protection was being removed, and the Assyrian forces were about to overspread the land of Judah. But the dangers from without overwhelming, though they seemed, were not so serious as the dangers from within. It was the perversity of his people that brought unto Yahweh's service the greatest perplexity and the deepest depression. By their apostasy and rebellion, those who should have been standing as the light bearers among the nations for inviting the judgments of Yahweh. Many of the evils of which were hastening the swift destruction of the northern kingdom, and which had recently been denounced in the unmistakable terms by the Hosea and Amos, were fast corrupting the kingdom of Judah. For the outlook was particularly discouraged as regards the social condition of the people and their desire for the gain. Men were adding house to house and field to field. See Isaiah 5:8. Justice was perverted and no pity was shown the poor. Of these evils Elohim declared, the spoil of the poor is in your houses. Yet you beat my people to pieces and grind the faces of the poor, Isaiah 3:14-15. Even the magistrates, whose duty it was to protect the helpless, turned a deaf ear to the cries of the poor and needy. The widows and the fatherless, see Isaiah 10:1-2. With oppression and wealth came pride and love of the display, gross drunkenness and the spirit of revelry. See Isaiah 2:11-12, 3:16, Isaiah 8:18-23, Isaiah 5:22-11-12. And in Isaiah's day, idolatry itself no longer provoked surprise. See Isaiah 2:8-9. For the iniquitous practices had become so prevalent among all classes that the few who remained true unto the Yahweh were often tempted for the losing heart and for the giving way unto discouragement and despair. For it seemed as if Elohim's purpose for Israel were about to fail and that the rebellious nation was to suffer a fate similar to that of Sodom and Gomorrah. In the face of the such condition, it is not surprising that when, during the last year of Uzziah's reign, Isaiah was called to bear unto Judah Elohim's message of the warning and reproof, he shrank from the responsibility. He well knew that he would encounter obstinate resistance as he realized his own inability to meet the situation and thought of the stubbornness and unbelief of the people for whom he was to labor. His task seemed hopeless should he in despair relinquish his mission and leave Judah undisturbed to their idolatry. Were the gods of the Nineveh to rule the earth in the defiance of the Yahweh of heaven? Such thoughts as these were crowding through the Isaiah's mind as he stood under the portico of the temple. Suddenly the gate and the inner veil of the temple seemed to be uplifted or withdrawn, and he was permitted to gaze within upon the Holy of the Holies, where even the prophet's feet might not enter. There rose up before him a vision of the Yahweh sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, while the train of his glory filled the temple. On each side of the throne hovered the seraphim, their faces veiled in the adoration as they ministered before their Maker and united in the solemn invocation, "Holy, holy, holy is the Yahweh of the hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory," until post and pillar and cedar gates seemed shaken with the sound, and the house was filled with their tribute of the praise, Isaiah 6:3. As the Isaiah beheld this revelation of the glory and majesty of his Yahweh, he was overwhelmed with the sense of the purity and holiness of the Yahweh. How sharp the contrast between the matchless perfection and his Creator and the senseless course of those who with him had long been numbered among the chosen people of Israel and Judah. "Woe is me," he cried, "for I am undone. because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Yahshua of the host. So he's seen the, it's actually, when I read it earlier, when I said the Yahweh of the host, it says, it should say Yahshua of the host, because he saw the King, Yahshua, in the temple. Alright, it says, that's verse 5, standing as it were in the full light of the divine presence within the inner sanctuary, he realized that if left unto his own imperfection and inefficiency, he would be utterly unable to accomplish the mission unto which he had been called. But a seraph was sent to relieve him of his distress and to fit him for his great mission. A living coal from the altar was laid upon his lips with the word, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Then the voice of Yahweh was heard saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And Isaiah responded, Here am I, send me. Verses 7 and 8, For the heavenly visitant bade the waiting messenger, Go and tell this people, Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Verses 9 and 10. Alright, it says that, for the prophet's duty was plain. He was to lift his voice in the protest against the prevailing evils. But he dreaded to undertake the work without some assurance of the hope for the Yahweh. He says, Yahweh, how long? Question mark. He inquired. Verse 11. Are none of thy chosen people ever to understand and repent and be healed? Now, this is a question that Isaiah asked. And I asked that question myself today. Is there anybody ever going to repent and be healed? For his burden of the soul and the behalf of Aaron Judah was not to be borne in vain. His mission was not to be wholly fruitless. Yet the evils that had been multiplying for many generations could not be removed in his day, throughout his lifetime. He must be a patient, courageous teacher, a prophet of the hope as well as of the doom. For the divine purpose finally accomplished the full fruitage of his effort and of the labors of all of Elohim's faithful messengers would appear, a remnant should be saved. That this might be brought about, the messages of the warning and entreaty were to be delivered unto the rebellious nation. Yahweh declared, until the cities be wasted without inhabitant and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate, and the Yahweh have removed men far away, and there be a great shaking, a forsaking in the midst of the land. Verses 11 and 12. The heavy judgments that were to befall the impenitent war, exile, oppression, the loss of power and prestige among the nation, all these were to come in order that those who would claim, who would recognize in them the hand of an offended Elohim might be led to repent. The 10 tribes of the northern kingdom were soon to be scattered among the nations and their cities left desolate. The destroying armies of the hostile nations were to sweep over their land again and again. Even Jerusalem was finally to fall, and Judah was to be carried away captive. Yet the promised land was not to remain wholly forsaken forever. The assurance of the heavenly visitant unto Isaiah was, In it shall be a tenth, and it shall return and be eaten. As a teal tree and as an oak, whose substance is in them when they cast their leaves. So the holy seed shall be the substance thereof, verse 13. This assurance of the final fulfillment of the Elohim's purpose brought courage unto the heart of Isaiah. What though earthly powers array themselves against Judah, What though the Yahweh's messenger meet with the opposition and resistance? Isaiah had seen the king, the Yahshua of the host. He had heard the song of the seraphim. The whole earth is full of his glory. He had the promise that the messages of the Yahweh to backsliding Judah would be accompanied by the convicting power of the Holy Spirit, and the prophet was nerved for the work before him. Verse 3, throughout his long and arduous mission, he carried with him the memory of this vision. For 60 years or more, he stood before the children of Judah as a prophet of hope, waxing bolder and still bolder in his prediction of the future triumph of the church. End of chapter 25, chapter 26, Behold your Yahweh. In Isaiah's day, the spiritual understanding of the mankind was dark through the misapprehension of Yahweh. Long had Satan sought to lead men to look upon their Creator as the author of sin and suffering and death. Those whom he had thus deceived imagined Elohim was hard and exacting. They regarded him as watching to denounce and condemn, unwilling to receive the sinner so long as there was a legal excuse for not helping him. The law of the love by which heaven is ruled had been misrepresented by the arch-deceiver as a restriction upon men's happiness, a burdensome yoke from which they should be glad to escape. He declared that its precepts could not be obeyed, and that the penalties of the transgression were bestowed arbitrarily. And losing sight of the true character of the Yahweh, the Israelites were without excuse. Often had Elohim revealed himself to them as one full of compassion and gracious long-suffering and plenteous in mercy and truth. Psalms 86:15. And Israel was a child, he testified, then I loved him and called my son out of Egypt, Hosea 11:1. Tenderly had the Yahweh dealt with the Israel in their deliverance from the Egyptian bondage and in their journey to the promised land. In all their affliction, he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them in his love and in his pity. He redeemed them, and he buried them and carried them all the days of old, Isaiah 63:9. My presence shall go with thee, was the promise given. During the journey through the wilderness, Exodus 33:14, this assurance was accompanied by a marvelous revelation of the Yahweh's character, which enabled Moses for the proclaiming unto all the Israel of the goodness of the Elohim, and for the instructing them fully concerning of the attributes of their invisible king. For the Yahweh passed by before him and proclaimed, The Yahweh, Elohim, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in the goodness and truth, keeping mercy for the thousand, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, Exodus 34:6-7. It was upon his knowledge of the long-sufferance of the Yahweh and of his infinite love and mercy that Moses based his wonderful plea for the life of Israel when on the borders of the promised land they refused to advance in the obedience unto the command of the Yahweh. At the height of their rebellion, the Yahweh had declared, I will smite them with the pestilence and disinherit them. And he had proposed to make of the descendants of the Moses a greater nation and mightier than they, Numbers 14:12. But the prophet pleaded the marvelous providences and promises of the Elohim in the behalf of the chosen nation, and then, as the strongest of all pleas, he urged the love of Elohim for the fallen man. See verses 17-19. Graciously the Yahweh responded, I have pardoned according unto thy word, And then he imparted unto Moses in the form of a prophecy a knowledge of his purpose concerning the final triumph of Israel. As surely as I live, he declared, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of Yahweh, verses 20-21. Elohim's glory, his character, his merciful kindness and tender love, that which Moses had pleaded in behalf of Israel, were to be revealed unto all mankind. And this promise of the Jehovah was made doubly sure. It was confirmed by an oath. As surely as Elohim lives and reigns, his glory shall should be declared among the heathen, his wonders among all people, Isaiah 96:3. Okay, it says, it was concerning the future fulfillment of this prophecy that Isaiah had heard the shining seraphim singing before the throne. The whole earth is full of his glory, Isaiah 6:3. For the prophet, confident of the certainty of these words, himself afterwards boldly declared to those who were bound down to images of a wood and stone, they shall see the glory of Yahweh and the excellency of our Elohim, Isaiah 35:2. Today this prophecy is meeting rapid fulfillment. The missionary activities of the Church of Yahweh on the earth are bearing rich fruitage, and soon the gospel message will have been proclaimed unto all nations, unto the praise of the glory of his grace. Men and women from every kindred, tongue, and people are being made accepted in the Beloved, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through the Yahshua Messiah. Ephesians 1:6-7. Blessed be the Yahweh Elohim, the Elohim of Israel, who only doeth wondrous things, and blessed be his glorious name forever, and let the whole earth be filled with his glory, Psalm 72:18-19. In the vision that came unto Isaiah in the temple court, he was given a clear view of the character of the Elohim of Israel, the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. He had appeared before him in a great majesty, yet the prophet was made to understand the compassionate nature of his Yahshua, that's his king of Israel. He who dwells in the high and holy place dwells with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite words, Isaiah 57:15. For the angel commissioned to touch Isaiah's lips had brought to him the message, thine iniquity is taken away and thy sin is purged, Isaiah 6:7. And beholding his Elohim, the prophet, like Saul of the Tarsus at the gate of Damascus, had not only been given a view of his own unworthiness, there had come unto his humble heart the assurance of the forgiveness, full and free, and he had risen a changed man. He had seen his Yahshua. He had caught a glimpse of the loveliness of the divine character. He could testify the transformation wrought through the beholding infinite love. Henceforth, he was inspired with the longing desire to see erring Israel set free from the burden and penalty of the sin. Why should ye be stricken any more? The prophet inquired. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Yahweh. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like a crimson, they shall be as wool. Wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Learn to do well. Isaiah 1:5-16-17. For the Elohim whom they had been claiming to serve, but whose character they had misunderstood, was set before them as the great healer of the spiritual disease. What though? The whole head was sick and the whole heart faint. What though? From the sole of the foot even unto the crown of the head, there was no soundness, but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. See Isaiah 1:6. He who had been walking forwardly in the way of his heart might find healing by turning to the Yahweh. I have seen his ways, the Yahweh declared. I will heal him. I will lead him also and restore comforts unto him. Peace, peace unto him that is afar off, and unto him that is near, saith the Yahweh. and I will heal him. Isaiah 57:18-19. For the prophet exalted Elohim as the creator of all, for his message unto the cities of the Judah was, Behold your Yahweh. Isaiah 40:9. Thus saith Yahweh, the Elohim, he that created the heavens and stretched them out, he that spread forth the earth and that which cometh out of it, I am the Yahweh that maketh all things. I form the light and create darkness. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I even my hands have stretched out the heavens and all their hosts have I commanded. Isaiah 42:5, 44:24, 45:7-12. Unto whom then will you liken me, or shall I be equal, saith the Holy One? Lift up your eyes on high, and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by the names, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one faileth. Isaiah 40:25-26. Unto those who feared they would not be received if they should return unto Elohim, the prophet declared, Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel? My way is hid from the Yahweh, and my judgment is passed over from my Elohim. Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting Father, the Yahweh, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power unto the faint. Unto them that hath no might, he increases strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall fall utterly, or utterly fall. But they that wait upon the Yahweh shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with their wings as the eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Verse 27:31. The heart of the infinite love yearns after those who feel powerless to free themselves from the snares of Satan, and he graciously offers to strengthen them to live for him. Fear thou not, he bids them, for I am with thee. Be not dismayed, for I am thy Elohim. I will strengthen thee. Yea, I will help thee. Yea, I will uphold thee with the right hand of my righteousness. I, the Yahweh, thy Elohim, will hold thy right hand, saying unto thee, Fear not, I will help thee. Fear not, thou worm, O Jacob, and ye men of Israel. I will help thee, saith Yahweh, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. Isaiah 41:10-13-14. Okay. Let's see where we're at here. For the inhabitants of the Judah were all undeserving, yet Elohim would not give them up. By them his name was to be exalted among the heathen. Many who were wholly unacquainted with his attributes were yet to behold the glory of the divine character. For it was for the purpose of the making plain his merciful design that he kept sending his servants, the prophets, with the message, Turn ye again now, everyone from his evil way. Jeremiah 25:5. For my name's sake, he declared through the Isaiah, will I defer mine anger, and for my praise will I refrain for thee, and that I cut thee not off. For mine own sake, even for mine own sake, will I do it. For how should my name be polluted, and I will not give my glory unto another. Isaiah 48:9-11. For the call unto repentance, for the call unto repentance was sounded with unmistakable clearness, and all were invited to return. Seek the Yahweh while he may be found, the prophet repeated. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto Yahweh, and he shall have mercy upon him, and unto Elohim, for he will abundantly pardon. Isaiah 55:6-7. Have you, reader, chosen your own way? Have you wandered far from Yahweh? Have you sought to feast upon the fruits of the transgression only to find them turned to ashes upon your lips? And now your life plan thwarted? And your hopes dead? Do you sit alone and desolate? That voice which has long been speaking unto your heart, but to which you would not listen, comes to you distinct and clear. Arise ye and depart, for this is not your rest, because it is polluted. It shall destroy you, even with a sore destruction. Micah 2:10, return unto your father's house, he invites you, saying, return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Come unto me here, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Isaiah 44:22, Isaiah 55:3. Do not listen to the enemy's suggestion to stay away from Yahshua until you have made yourself better, until you are good enough to come unto Yahweh. If you wait until then, you will never come. When Satan points to your filthy garments, repeat the promise of the Savior, him that cometh unto me I will in no wise cast out. John 6:37. Tell the enemy that the blood of Yahshua Messiah cleanses from all sin. Make the prayer of David your own. Purge me with the hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Psalm 51, verse 7. For the exhortations of the prophets unto Judah, to behold the living Elohim and accept his gracious offers, were not in vain. There were some who gave earnest heed, and who turned from their idols unto the worship of the Yahweh. They learned to see in their Maker love and mercy and tender compassion. And in the dark days that were to come in the history of Judah, when only a remnant were to be left in the land, the prophet's words were to continue bearing fruit in the decided reformation. At that day declared Isaiah, shall a man look to his Maker, and his eyes shall have respect unto the Holy One of Israel. And he shall not look unto the altars of work of his hands, neither shall respect that which his fingers have made, either the groves or the images. Isaiah 17:7-8. Many were to behold the one altogether lovely, the chiefest among 10,000. And I shall see the king in his beauty, was a gracious promise made of him. Isaiah 33:17. Their sins were to be forgiven, and they were to make their boast in Elohim alone. In that glad day of the redemption from the idolatry, they would exclaim, the glorious Yahshua will be unto us a place of broad rivers and streams. Yahshua is our judge. Yahshua is our lawgiver. The Yahshua is our king. He will save us. Verses 21 and 22. For the messages borne by Isaiah unto those he chose to turn from their evil ways was full of comfort and encouragement. Hear the word of Yahweh through his prophet. Remember these, O Jacob and Israel, for thou art my servant. I have formed thee, thou art my servant, O Israel, thou shalt not be forgotten of me. I have blotted out as a thick cloud thy transgressions. And as a cloud by thy sins, return unto me, for I have redeemed thee. Isaiah 44:21-22. In that day thou shalt say, O Yahweh, I will praise thee. Though thou wast angry with me, thine anger is turned away, and thou comfortest me. Behold, Elohim is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Yahweh Elohim is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. All right, let's look at that again. It says, behold, the Yahshua is my salvation. And actually it ends up saying, it's become my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for the Yahshua, Messiah, is my strength and my song. He also has become my salvation. So it says he also, saying unto the Yahshua, for he hath done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, thou inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in the midst of thee. Now he's talking about the Yahshua. He's this Holy One of Israel. Isaiah 12. It says 11 prophets and kings, page 11. Okay, that ends chapter 26. Let's just put it on into chapter 27. Ahaz. For the ascension of the Ahaz into the throne brought Isaiah and his associates face to face with the conditions more appalling than any that had hitherto existed in the realm of the Judah. Many who had formerly withstood the seductive influence of the idolatrous practices were now being persuaded for the taking of the part in the worship of the heathen deities, for the princes in the Israel were proving untrue under their trust, for the false prophets were arising with the messages for the leading astray. Even some of the priests were teaching for the hire, yet the leaders and the apostles still kept up the divine or the forms of divine worship and claimed to be numbered among the people of Elohim. The prophet Micah, who bore his testimony during those troublous times, declared that sinners in Zion, while claiming to lean upon the Yahweh and blasphemously boasting, is not the Yahweh among us. None else can come up on us.
None evil
can come upon us. Continue to build up Zion with the blood, and Yerushalayim with the iniquity. Micah 3:11-10. Against these evils, the prophet Isaiah lifted his voice in a stern rebuke. Hear the word of Yahweh, ye rulers of Sodom. Give ear unto the Yahweh of our Elohim, you people of Gomorrah. This is talking about the Seventh-day Adventist Church today. Unto what purpose is the multitude of your sacrifices unto me, said Yahweh, when you come to appear before me? Who hath required this at your hand to tread my course? Isaiah 1:10-12. What does it mean, who hath required this at my hands to tread my course? Or your hands, I mean, to tread my course. It means false worshipers. It used to be that Yahweh had given the commission to be the purveyors of the truth and to be the leaders in the temple, to be the preachers and the prophets and the rulers. These are the ones he's talking about. Who's required you to tread my course? Fall in a false way. Inspiration declares, the sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? Proverbs 21:27. The Elohim of heaven is of the purer eyes than to behold evil and cannot look on iniquity. Habakkuk 1:11. Or Habakkuk 1:13. It is not because he is unwilling to forgive that he turns from the transgressor. It is because the sinner refuses to make use of the abundant provisions of the grace that Elohim is unable to deliver from sin. The Yahshua's hand is not shortened that he cannot save, though Yahweh, the Father. Neither his ear heavy that he cannot hear it. But your iniquities have separated between you and your Elohim, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear. Isaiah 59:1-2. Solomon had written, woe unto thee, O land, when thy king is a child. Ecclesiastes 10:16. Thus it was with the land of the Judah. See, the continued transgression of her rulers had become children, as the children. Isaiah called the attention of the people unto the weakness of their position among the nations of the earth. And he showed that this was the result of the wickedness in the higher places, because behold, he said, the Yahshua, the host, doth take away from the Yerushalayim and from Judah the stay and the staff, the whole stay of the bread and the whole stay of the water, the mighty man and the man of war, the judge and the prophet and the prudent and the ancient. The captain of 50, the honorable man, and the counselor, and the cunning artificer, and the eloquent orator, and I will give children to be their princes, and babes shall rule over them. For Yerushalayim is ruined, and Judah is fallen, because their tongue and their doings are against the Yahweh. Isaiah 3:1-4, and in verse 8. They which lead thee, the prophet continued, cause thee to err, and destroy the way of thy path. Verse 12. During the reign of Ahaz, this was literally true, for of him it is written, he walked in the ways of the kings of the Israel and made also molten images for the Baalim. Moreover, he burned incense in the valley of the son of Hinnom, yea, and made his son to pass through the fire, according unto the abomination of the heathen, who the Yahweh cast out from before the children of Israel. 2 Chronicles 28:2 and verse 3. 2 Kings 16, verse 3. This was indeed a time of the great peril for the chosen nation. Only a few short years and the 10 tribes of the kingdom of the Israel were to be scattered among the nations of the heathendom. And in the kingdom of the Judah also, the outlook was dark. For the forces for good were rapidly diminishing. For the forces for the evil were multiplying. For the prophet Micah, viewing the situation, was constrained to exclaim, "The good man has perished out of the earth, and there is none upright among men. For the best of them is as a briar, the most upright is sharper than the thorn hedge." Micah 7:2-4. "Except Yahshua the host had left unto us a very small remnant," declared Isaiah, "we should have been as Sodom and Gomorrah," Isaiah 1:9. So who is Isaiah speaking for here? He's speaking for the remnant here in the end time, the house of David, that come at the end of the Adventist third feeding pastor, Gilead Saint, Kermit, Texas, 2002, that Yahshua came to the threshold of the house at the Passover 2002, and he reckoned with the prophet in charge of the candlestick of Laodicea, Revelation 3:14. Verse 30 Johnson, and he found him to be warning. He weighed him in the balance and found him to be warning, and so he changed the guard on him. But he gave him plenty of warning ahead of time that there's going to be a change in the guard at that time. So it says, "In every age, for the sake of those who have remained true, as well as because of his infinite love for the erring Elohim, has borne long with the rebellious and has urged them to forsake their course of the evil and return unto him. Precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, through men of his appointment, he has taught transgressors the way of righteousness," Isaiah 28:10. "And thus it was during the reign of the Ahaz, invitation upon invitation was sent unto the erring Israel for the returning unto their allegiance unto the Yahweh. For the tender were the pleadings of the prophets, and as they stood before the people, earnestly exhorting unto the repentance and reformation, their words bore fruit unto the glory of the Yahweh. Through the Micah came the wonderful appeal, 'Hear ye now what the Yahweh saith. Arise, contend thou before the mountains, and let the hills hear thy voice. Hear ye, O mountains, Yahweh's controversy, and ye strong foundations of the earth. For the Yahweh hath a controversy with his people, and he will plead with the Israel. O my people, what have I done unto thee, and wherein have I wearied thee? Testify against me, for I brought thee up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed thee out of the house of the servants, and I sent before thee Moses, Aaron, and Miriam. O my people, remember now what Balak, king of the Moab, consulted, and what Balaam, the son of Beor, answered him. From Shittim unto Gilgal, that ye may know the righteousness of the Yahweh," Micah 6:1-5. "Unto Elohim, whom we serve in the long suffering, his compassion fail not." Lamentations 3:22. "Throughout the period of the probationary time, his spirit is entreating men to accept the gift of the life. As I live, saith Yahweh Elohim, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked, but that the wicked turn from his way and live. Turn ye from your evil ways, for why will ye die?" Ezekiel 33:11. It is Satan's special device to lead men into sin and then leave him there helpless and hopeless, fearing to seek for the pardon. But Yahweh invites, "Let him take hold of my strength, that he may make peace with me, and he shall make peace with me," Isaiah 27:5. "In Yahshua every provision has been made, every encouragement offered. In the days of apostasy in Judah and Israel, many were inquiring, 'Wherewith shall I come before Yahweh and bow myself before the high Elohim? Shall I come before him with a burnt offering, with the calves of a year old? All the Yahweh Will the Yahweh be pleased with thousands of rams or with 10,000 of rivers of oil?" The answer is plain and positive. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what doth Yah require thee but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy Elohim. Micah 6:6-8. And urging the value of the practical righteousness, the prophet was only repeating the counsel given Israel centuries before through the Moses. As they were about to enter the promised land, the word of Yahweh had been, and now, Israel, what doth the Yahweh thy Elohim require of thee, but to fear thy Yahweh thy Elohim, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Yahweh the Elohim with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and keep the commandments of Yahweh, and his statutes which I commanded this day for thy good. Deuteronomy 10:12-13. From age to age, these counsels were repeated by the servants of the Yahweh, unto those who were in the danger of the fallen, unto the habits of formalism, and for the forgetting to show mercy, when Yahshua himself, during his earthly ministry, was approached by a lawyer with a question, Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Yahshua said unto him, Thou shalt love the Yahweh the Elohim with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets, Matthew 22:36-40. This plain utterances of the prophets and of the Master himself should be received by us as the voice of Yahweh unto every soul. We should lose no opportunity of performing deeds of the mercy, of the tender forethought and Christian courtesy for the burdened and the oppressed. If we can do no more, we may speak words of the courage and hope unto those who are unacquainted with the Elohim and who can be approached most earnest easily by the avenue of the symphony, sympathy and love. Rich and abundant are the promises made unto those who are watchful of the opportunities to bring joy and blessing into the lives of others. If thou draw out thy soul unto the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in the obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday, and the Yahweh shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in the drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. Isaiah 58:10-11. For the idolatrous course of the Ahaz in the face of the earnest appeals of the prophet should have but one result. The wrath of Yahweh was upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he delivered them under to trouble and astonishment and to hissing. 2 Chronicles 29:8. Was soon in peril by the invading armies. Rezin, king of Syria, and Pekah, son of Remaliah, king of Israel, came up unto the Jerusalem to war, and they besieged Ahaz. 2 Kings 16:5. Had Ahaz and the chief men of his realm been true servants of the Most High, they would have had no fear of so unnatural an alliance as had been formed against them. But repeated transgression has shown them of the strength, stricken with a nameless dread of the retributive judgments of an offended Elohim. The heart of the king was moved, and the heart of his people, as the trees of the wood are moved with the wind. Isaiah 7:2. In this crisis, the word of the Yahweh came unto Isaiah, bidding him meet the trembling king and say, Take heed and be quiet, fear not, neither be faint-hearted. Because Syria, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against his sin. Let us go up against Judah and vex it, and let us make a breach therein for us, and sit a king in the midst of it. Thus saith Yahweh Elohim, It shall not stand, neither shall it come to pass. For the prophet declared that the kingdom of Israel and Syria as well would soon come unto an end. If you will not believe, he concluded, surely you shall not be established. Verses 4:7-9. Well said. Now, well would it have been for the kingdom of Judah had Ahaz received this message as from the heaven, But choosing to lean on the arm of the flesh, he sought help from the heathen. In desperation, he sent word unto Tiglath-Pileser, king of the Assyria, I am thy servant, thy son. Come up and save me out of the hand of the king of Syria and out of the hand of the king of Israel, which rise up against me. 2 Kings 16:7. For the request was accompanied by a rich present from the king's treasure and from the temple, a storehouse. The help as for was sent, and King Ahaz was sent. I was given temporary relief, but at what a cost unto Judah. For the tribute offered aroused the cupidity of Assyria, and that treacherous nation soon threatened to overflow and spoil Judah. Ahaz and his unhappy subjects were now harassed by the fear of falling completely into the hands of the cruel Assyrians. So Yahweh brought Judah low because of the continued transgression. In this time of the chastisement, Ahaz, instead of the repenting, transgressed yet more against the Yahweh, for he sacrificed unto the gods of Damascus. Because the gods of the king of Assyria helped him, he said, therefore will I sacrifice unto them, that they may help me. 2 Chronicles 28:19, 22, and 23. As the apostate king neared the end of his reign, he caused the doors of the temple to be closed. The sacred services were interrupted. No longer were the candlesticks kept burning before the altar. No longer were the offerings made for the sins of the people. No longer did sweet incense ascend on high at the time of the morning and evening sacrifice. And deserting the courts of the house of Yahweh and locking fast its door. For the inhabitants of the godless city boldly set up altars for the worship of the heathen deities on the street corners throughout Jerusalem. Heathenism had seemingly triumphed. The powers of darkness had well nigh prevailed. But in the Judah there dwelt some who maintained their allegiance unto the Yahweh, steadfastly refusing to be led into the idolatry. It was under these that Isaiah and Micah and their associates looked in the hope as they surveyed the ruin wrought during the last years of the Ahab. Their sanctuary was closed, but the faithful ones were assured, Elohim is with us. Sanctify the Yahshua the host himself, and let him be your fear, and let him be your dread, and he shall be for a sanctuary. Isaiah 8:10, 13, and 14. Well, looks like this brings in for us through this hour. You can contact us at the 11th hour. Calling us number 11. Click on our audio archive. We're going to close this service now with a song. All the way my Savior leads me.
All the way my Savior leads me, walk apart to rest beside. Can I doubt his tender mercy, if your life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith to him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, assured there with all things well. For I know whate'er befalls me, assured there with all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread. Grants me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may falter, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from the rocks before me, no spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rocks before me, though a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of his love. Every peace to me is promised, and my Father's house of
say, it's my song to end the ages. Joshua, let me hold the way. In my song to end the ages, Joshua, let me hold the way.